Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2023 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Trofeo, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on current available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Trofeo, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the first quarter of 2023. As usual, we will start with the presentation on page number three, the highlights of the quarter, starting with the revenues that came to $1.4 billion, that is 10% lower than last quarter. Our net income was a loss of $54 million, that is 70% less loss than the last quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA was $188 million, that is 50% lower than the last quarter. And in terms of our last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, it was $1.7 billion, that is 20% lower than it was 3 months ago. Our leverage went up to 3.17 times, and we filed our 20F for the year 2022 about a month ago. Now going to page number five, I'm talking about the evolution of the EBITDA. We can see in the graph on the top that we had a big reduction from the EBITDA of the last quarter, that was $388 million. So we were $200 million less than the last quarter. And we're going to talk about the reasons for that later on. In terms of breakdown by division, we had about $80 million EBITDA in the pulp division and $136 million in the wood product division. The main difference between one quarter was in the pulp division, where we had a $200 million less EBITDA, and that is explained basically by cost of the ramp-up process of line three, some non-scheduled mill stoppage, and of course a decrease in average prices of 8% and a 5% decrease in sales volume. Our EBITDA of the wood product division decreased by 12%, mainly due to lower revenues. Page six, we have a summary of net income, and you can see there the reduction in the revenues and also the reduction in gross profit. We're going to talk about the later on about other income that went from a loss in last quarter to a positive $75 million. Of the distribution costs that went down a little bit, also administrative expenses and other expenses that were quite stable. In terms of financial income, also very stable in about $23 million, and an increase in financial costs from $65 million to $80 million, which is explained basically by the we ended the capitalization of interest that we were doing for the MAPA project. That's why we are now at normal levels of net income, not capitalizing any financial cost from the project. In terms of exchange rate differentials, we have a lower loss than last quarter. And of course, since we had a negative income before tax, we had a positive effect of income tax of $57 million that ended in the $54 million loss for the quarter. Page seven, a little bit more detail about the revenues, the 10% decrease. This is basically a decrease that was more or less spread between divisions. So we had $153 million less of revenues, which can be explained by 50% more or less in of each of the different divisions. In terms of pulp, it was driven by 8% decrease in prices and a 5% decrease in sales volume. And in wood products, it was a 9% decrease in sales volume and, 5% decrease in sales volume and 4% decrease in average prices. In terms of cost of sales, this went down 1.7% to or 18 million to $1,034 million. We had a decrease in volume, as you can see. So the main explanation for the quite stable cost of sale was a decrease in sales volume, but an increase in unitary cost, basically because of the higher cost of pulp that is explained in hardwood by the high cost of production of MAPA, which is ramping up, so the costs are still high, and a portion of that is not accrued in inventory yet, but going directly to cost of sales. And also that we have interruptions in production, especially in the Constitución mill that was stopped for the whole quarter because of a problem in the lime kiln that occurred at the end of last year. So that made increases in unitary cost of sales of hardwood and also unbleached softwood because of Constitución. So that was the main explanation for the high unitary cost that was at the end ended in a stable cost of sales total, even if we have lower volumes of production. If we move to page eight, as we had lower volumes and some of the unitary cost of freight went down, we had lower distribution costs, $161 million instead of $192. Also, we had a little bit lower in the administrative expenses, more to a normal level of $150 million. We had a higher cost the administrative expenses in the fourth quarter, now going back to more normal levels of $150. Page nine, now talking about other income. Here we have a big change because, as you remember, the fourth quarter of 2022, we recorded an impairment of the forestry because of the higher discount rates that we calculated, and that effect ended up in a loss for gains in changes of biological assets. And now we are now accruing a normal level of about $50 million for the quarter. So now in the total of other income that we have here, the gains of changes in biological assets went to a normal level of about $76 million. So this change is reflected here. In other expenses, here we have a stable about $200 million, but this is explained by different reasons. We have, as you remember also, in the fourth quarter of 2022, we made impairment of Alto Paraná Esperanza Mill of about $180 million. So that affected the other expenses. So the main part of that was impairment of assets from the 208. About $160 million was impairment of assets. And this quarter, we didn't have impairments, but we had a big cost of stoppage of plants and low production of mills of about $140 million. So, and that is explained basically by the cost of ramping up of MAPA in January and February that didn't go to inventory. And also the cost of the Constitución mill that was stopped, and also Nueva Aldea that was stopped for about 2 weeks during the summer because of the forest fires that affected the whole region. We had to stop the mill for about 2 weeks. So, and other panels and sawmills that were stopped also in Nueva Aldea. So that's why we had a big increase in the cost of stoppage of mills that at the end of the day affected the other expenses line. Now if we go to a review by business segment, and starting with pulp in page 11, you can see the the typical graph that we show of pulp prices. If we concentrate on the lower lines that are showing the price in China, which is the net price, we can see that the prices were quite stable up to, let's say, February, and then they started to go down quite quickly, especially in short fiber, and going to levels of a little bit below $500 in short fiber and about $680 in long fiber. So right now the spread between fibers is $223, which compares with the previous call that was about $180. So a big decrease in prices of pulp that started probably March and April and affected the end of the quarter. Of course, it's affecting this quarter in terms of revenues. If we see the stocks have gone up, and now we have about 52 days in softwood and about 47 days of production in hardwood. In terms of global shipments for the first 2 months, we see a more quite stable total, about with a decrease of 1.7%, but an increase in China of 15% that is compensated by a decrease in the shipments to Europe of about 16%. And page 12, you can see the $200 million decrease in EBITDA that was, as we already talked, explained by a 10% decrease in revenues, but also a big increase in cost explained by the stoppage of mills, the low production, and the ramp-up of our project MAPA, line 3, that started producing during the quarter. And that affected basically the cost, and that made up a very low EBITDA of about $80 million. In terms of the market, as we have been talking, the prices decreased in all markets and grades, and stocks increased consistently, following the trend that we started to see at the end of 2024. We saw some supply going from long fiber from Northern Europe that was offered in Asia, in China. The other thing that happened, that since demand was lower and new production was coming into place, the Chinese buyers started putting pressure on prices and started to negotiate down the price to the levels that we see right now. In terms of the paper markets in China, the markets are weaker than expected, even though the demand in China is quite normal. The exports from products from China that use paper and packaging are very low, and that is affecting the demand for pulp. So we saw a decline in demand and also a sharp demand in prices. In Europe, the situation is also quite bad. The paper demand started to drop considerably and also affecting the demand for pulp. But even the tissue industry remained a little bit stable. So in Europe, pulp stocks increased, mainly in imports. And we saw also a higher decrease in prices in short fiber than long fiber in the first quarter of 2023. Dissolving pulp was more stable. We saw some price increases during February, and the viscose market is a very, let's say, quite healthy operating rate of 70-80% with better consumption and some small increases in prices. Of course, as you can see in the graph there, our production was lower, almost 90,000 tons lower than last quarter, and that was for the reason already explained by the shutdown of Constitución. We also had a problem in one turbo generator in Nueva Esperanza in Argentina, and 2 weeks of stoppage in Valdea because of the fire. So we didn't have a very good production quarter, and that affected also sales and cost. Now looking at the outlook in page 13, as I mentioned before, the demand for paper, for some grades of paper in China is increasing, but it's not enough to offset the low export of paper and paper used in the export market. The pulp inventories in paper producers are low, but they are not restocking right now, so we see normal consumption from them. Also, as we all know, higher supply is coming from the ramp up of MAPA and also from Paso Los Toros mill of UPM. So that is giving some leverage for buyers rather than producers. In Europe, the demand has decreased drastically, and most producers are stopping production several days a month. Their margins have improved a little bit because of lower pulp prices and some lower energy and chemical costs, but we have seen stoppage of mills because for them it's even better to lower the operating rates than drop more the prices than they have right now. So we expect the next month to continue to be difficult. We think that the pulp prices are very close to the bottom because a lot of producers are right now below water and losing money, and I think that should at some point bring some market downtime in the market. As you can see in the table on the right side, showing the production stops that we have, Constitución was stopped for 108 days, already started production April 10th. We had the stop of 16 days in Aldea, as I told you. Valdivia is stopped for 4 months for the reconstruction of the dryer that was scheduled to start at the beginning of April and will go through August. Esperanza Mill also stopped because of the problem in the turbo generator. And the next maintenance stoppage that we have Aldea is a program stop for 16 days. And Esperanza stopped it in third quarter, and then Arauco Line 3 for 10 days in the fourth quarter, and Arauco Line 2 also 16 days in the fourth quarter. Prices in the graph showing there, the latest prices that we have closed with our clients are, as you can see, the hardwood for $475 for May, softwood for $680, and dissolving pulp $900. That are the prices that we have seen. Of course, a very big decrease from the prices that we saw at the end of the year that were more close to $800 for hardwood, $900 for softwood, and $924 for dissolving pulp, which is more stable. Now moving to page 14 and looking at the effects in the wood product division. Here we can see that we had a more stable EBITDA in the quarter, right now more normal to the levels that we saw before the pandemic. Remember that the wood product division is a division that generates approximately $500 million a year of EBITDA. We had two very good years of $1 billion EBITDA, but now we're back to normal. We have adjusted production to the levels of demand, and we are in a more stable situation. In terms of the decrease in 12% from the last quarter is explained basically by around 10% decrease in revenues, which is explained by a quite well distributed decrease between price and volume. That is for wood products. For panels, we had a lower decrease in volume and a 5% decrease in price, and in solid wood we had a 10% decrease in volume. So a higher decrease in what we call a solid wood. Page 15, here we had the production levels that in the case of panel was a little bit higher than last quarter, so going to 1.3 million cubic meters. In some timber, we had a quite stable production of about 500,000 cubic meters and a lower sales of 415. And in the case of plywood, we had lower production because of the stoppage of the Nueva Aldea plywood mill because of the fires in February. That's why we produced only 60,000 cubic meters. Sales were more stable because we had some inventory because of market downtime there that we were able to continue selling at the same pace. In terms of the outlook for the wood products division. Now we're focusing on North America, which represents about 60% of sales. We are seeing more competitive market in MDF because of higher supply coming from Brazil, so putting some pressure in the market, and a little bit of lower demand because of the effect of higher interest rates that are affecting construction activity, so affecting volumes. Particle board, it continues to be a relatively better situation than MDF because we have lower supply, oversupply coming from other markets into North America. In remanufactured wood products, the inventories have been corrected in some products and fundamentals remain in normal levels. We're expecting a stabilized market in the coming year. Yeah, and also in plywood, the market is stable. We think that supply and demand is well balanced, and we think that the market will strengthen towards the end of the second quarter. You can see in the graph of the housing starts that we had a decrease in the housing stock, now going to 1.4 million houses per year as of March 2023. Now in page 17, now talking to Central and South America, we represent 30% of the market, and main market there is Brazil. Still concerned about the domestic market, more supply coming into MDF, and the surplus trying to being exported to America. We have seen a little bit better EBITDA coming from Brazil, so we see some stabilization, but still a little bit challenging because of more supply in the domestic market. In Chile, the remanufactured wood products prices have continued to weaken, and we expect a softer second quarter in panels because the construction sector in Chile continues to be slower than last year. Argentina, stable and good for the rest of the year, especially in MDF and value-added products, who still with good demand because of the macroeconomic conditions of Argentina, everyone trying to shelter into construction products and keeping the demand at a good level. And now in Asia and Oceania, we represent 10%. Prices have continued to weaken and some oversupply coming from other places, and Oceania with lower demand affected by slower economic activity. Now, if we move to the financial review, starting on page 20, we still have a quite good liquidity of about $2.25 billion. That is represented by $873 million in cash and our revolving credit facility of 375, which is still completely available at the date of this report. This facility is due in February 2025. In page 20, we had a negative free cash flow of $245 million that is explained by a lower cash from operating activities, which is also explained by a lower adjusted EBITDA and also an effect of an increase in working capital. This is basically explained by higher volumes of production from MAPA and also some more volume in inventory in the forest. That with a little bit lower capex of 334 compared to 380 came out to be to a negative free cash flow 245 that of course increased our net debt from $5 billion to $5.5 billion at the end of the quarter, also explained by some accrued interest variation and some exchange rate effects. Page 25, the evolution of the net financial debt going up again because of the negative free cash flow of the last two quarters, and also with a lower adjusted last 12 months EBITDA 20% lower, so $1.7 billion affected our leverage that went from 2.33 times to 3.17 times. So our total debt now is $6.3 billion and net debt $5.5 billion. Page 22, our amortization schedule. We have more short-term loans now because we have to increase our liquidity and we took some export debt over there, but that is a debt that we rolled over with the lines that we have in Chile. But the big amortization is still our $500 million that is due in 2024. And we already issue a, a local bond after the end of the quarter, and in April, in beginning of May, end of April, and so we got $300 million in long-term debt that is not shown here, and we plan to have more refinancing during the year in order to be prepared to pay back the bond that is due in 2024. The rest of the 2025 and 26 are still with low amortizations. So we have a lot of debt that is due after 2036, that is about $1.6 billion. Now, finally going to the material facts and news. We filed our 20F in April 19. We filed our 20F for the year 2022 to the Securities and Exchange Commission as part of our regulatory requirements. And we have a lot of information there that you can go and see about the results of 2022. An update after the end of the forest fire season, we had about 1,500 fires during the season. That is, in terms of the amount of fires, 16% lower than last season. But of course, the intensity of those fires were a lot higher because we had at the end of the day an amount of hectares affected by the fires of about a little bit lower than 50,000 hectares, which compares with the about 5,000 hectares that we were affected last season. So, as you remember, we mentioned that we expected to have a net effect of about $50 million in the impairment of our forests. We finally recorded a $43 million impairment of forests after the calculating the what we're going to recuperate from the forest, and also netting the effect of the insurance that we have with the associated with that forest. So that is the number that is in also recorded in our financial statements in the impairment of forest, about $43 million before tax. Page 27, we also filed in the local authority, the CMS, on April 14, our integrated report. So now we have merged our two reports into only one. So we are consolidating the sustainability report and the annual report in just one. And you can see there also our performance for the year and also all the things that we're doing in ESG concentrated in only one report that's available also in our website. Page 26, as I mentioned, on April 25, we issued a local bond of $7 million US, which is equivalent to a little bit more than $300 million in two series. One series, a nine-year bond, and the most of it at a 25-year bond, 21-year bond that is maturing in April 10, 2044. So we got an interest of about 3.2% in UF for these long-term bonds. We were very happy with the results of these issuance in the local markets. Both series were rated AA, stable from Fitch and Feller, and these bonds were sustainable bonds. So we are promising to invest an amount equal to the one obtained in sustainable projects that are in our sustainable bond framework that is adopted and published in our website. So last slide, just the takeaways. As we have seen, this has been a very challenging period for the company because of some operational problems in our mills and also because of the market condition and also because of the forest fire. So we have three things affecting our results. But our Arauco Line 3 is ramping up, and we expect to have more volume coming from that mill that will help us in the coming month. But this reinforces the importance approach with a broad perspective of market knowledge, stakeholder engagement, investment grade commitment, shared value, and this is, of course, environmental management. Also, we were able to issue a sustainable bond in local markets, and we published our reports of 20F and integrated report in April. So with that, I will end up my presentation, and I would like to open for any questions that you may have. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the question queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. Our first question comes from Jen Spies with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my question. I was curious about MAPA and the impact on cost. You mentioned that hardwood unitary costs were mainly influenced by the ramp up. So do you expect that to improve next quarter, or will it still be a drag? And to that extent, it will also be interesting to know what your current capacity utilization is and what do you expect for the next quarters. Do you still expect to produce around 800,000 tons and ship around 700,000 tons, or has that schedule changed a bit? And yeah, that would be my first question. Thank you.
Yes, as I mentioned, the cost of sales was impacted by line 3 ramp up. The first 2 months, we didn't cost into inventory because the production was very low. We were just ramping up, so with very low volume. So everything went down directly to cost of sales without going to inventory. In March, we did our first costing with some volume, but of course the cost was higher than the price of the product. So a part of that also went directly to cost of sales and not to inventory. So it was affecting the cost of sales and the unitary cost of sales of all hardwood. The production is going up, so we expect that as volumes go up, the total cost of production will go down for MAPA. We are really the ramp up started once we had the two pulp machines producing. That was at the beginning of March. We had both machines producing, and that were really a startup process went into higher gears, and we are according to our plan right now. We still think that we were going to be able to produce about 800,000 tons this year and to ship about 700. Of course, the monthly levels of production more close to capacity will be reached at the end of the year. And currently right now we have different days. We have some good weeks, some bad weeks, but we are getting to very good numbers in terms of the program that we have to reach that full capacity at the end of the year. So the program is still to reach the 800,000 tons. I think we're going to get there, and we are more optimistic about the performance of the ramp-up process.
Okay, perfect. If I may squeeze one more question regarding hardwood prices in China, you're selling at around $470 per ton, but you're saying that you're not seeing any evidence of restocking. So are at those levels, demand remains relatively weak, or how should we understand that? Do you expect prices to fall a bit further before a restocking cycle starts, or what are your expectations there?
Well, what we have seen is that we are selling more or less the volume, the normal demand, not more than the normal demand. So right now we are not seeing our customers willing to go aggressively into restocking, because of course their products are not picking up really quickly. So I think that will take a little bit more to see that, because they have to see more demand coming from their side in order to decide to restock. They know that more volume is coming, so they don't need to restock very quickly, because more volume is coming from our project in MAPA and also from UPM. So they're not in a hurry, I think. So we could see some small decreases in prices, not very big. I don't think too much, because right now we are very low. Imagine that the cost of production, the marginal cost of production, have gone up about 20% since the last cycle because of inflation. So A lot of buyers are below water, as I told you, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, in terms of cash cost, and they're losing money. So I don't see there's much space to go below that level, but we haven't seen the Chinese buyer rushing to restock at this point. So I would say that it will take some time.
Okay. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Our next question comes from Thiago Lofego with Bradesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions. First one, still about coal price dynamics. If there's no rush to restock, but at the same time we are seeing coal prices trading, you know, below, the cash cost for some producers, how should or how do you guys think about, you know, dynamics going forward? Do we see like a prolonged down cycle in terms of like prices trading at low levels before we see more effective shutdowns, or do you think we could see, you know, a supply response sooner rather than later? And then the second question on the wood panel side, particularly specifically in Brazil, how are you guys seeing demand evolving at this point, and just general supply and demand dynamics and pricing dynamics? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's very difficult to predict closures of mills. Depends a lot of things, and it's not very easy. And my experience is that once you have a stability in the price at a lower level, you start to see closures of mills because, as you know, there's some option value in keeping the mill producing because you have fixed cost of shutting down. So I think that it will take some time. Some of the producers will start shutting down some capacity where the variable cost is higher than the cost of the price they're getting. And you will start to see some smaller mills and northern hemisphere shutting down. But you need to see some stability, and we just reached the bottom. So I think that it will take some time for that. And in terms of dynamics for the rest of the year, probably what I think is that we could see some increases in the second half of prices, but very limited, because the volume is going to be reaching the market. And so there's not a lot of space to change the dynamics of the demand and supply. And I think that prices will still be low. I think, and I hope that not as low as we have seen right now, but we don't expect to see a big increase, of course, unless we see a big change in the demand in China because of macroeconomic conditions there. And I don't know if it's going to happen now, but if you see a big change in demand and that pushes some of the restocking, that will change the dynamics and that will bring some changes in prices. But my expectation is that prices will be close to 500 for some time to come. In terms of wood panels, what I've seen is that in terms of results from our division in Brazil is a little bit better, but demand is still weak. You see there that in Brazil, the inflation is quite under control compared to other markets. So, but interest rates are still high, and there's some time before the consumers start buying again in the same volumes. And Brazil has a chronic problem of oversupply in MDF. So, see a lot of investment coming. So. We are back to normal in terms of panels in Brazil. We had a very good 2 years, but we are back to the same challenging of selling products in an oversupply market like Brazil, which has a higher unitary demand for panels. It's a very sophisticated market and very competitive. But right now we are seeing normal demand there in Brazil.
All right, thank you, Jeff. And if I may, what's the net price you're selling in China right now for pulp?
Well, it's 475. The net depends on each client, the discounts that you have at the end of the year and rebates. It's not very very significant from that number, but that is the number we are selling, 475.
And just to clarify, you do think that there's, I mean, we are, you mentioned we are at the bottom, but before you also mentioned that there could be some further discounts or price correction on the downside. So just to understand, so you guys are still seeing some pressure from clients to reduce prices?
No, not at this point. I mean, we sold all the volume at those prices, so we didn't see any push from lower right now. We don't see what's going to happen the next month, but right now we didn't see any pushbacks from lower prices at this cycle of negotiation. Let's see what happens the next month, but probably could happen. But as you said, we could have some curtailments of production have been announced during the summer in northern hemisphere. I don't know anything yet, but could happen.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Alexa Heater with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call. Just a follow-up question on potential issuance for this year. When you're looking at issuing again to address the 2024s, would that just be confined to local market, or are you also thinking about issuing internationally?
No, I think we're thinking more international market. We already tapped the local market, and in Chile, in the local market, you are not able to raise a lot. I mean, more than the what we did this time, which is $300 million, is I would say a big number for the local market. We could do a little bit of the local market, but I think most probably will be in the international markets, probably in the fourth quarter, and will be a combination of liability management and probably new money. We have to decide that yet, but we will do some liability management at that point, I think, with the 24th.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Julian Tuncer with RGA. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Kind of following up on Alexa's question on debt management, in relation to that, what is your dividend policy, and are you talking to rating agencies in terms of your ratings, as obviously leverage metrics are high, you're a cyclical company, but are you having any discussions with them? How important is it to maintain the ratings at investment grade, and furthermore with a stable outlook?
Well, we talk with rating agencies constantly, and I think that what you have to look at is more the medium term, long term, rather than one quarter. Of course, we are in the worst part. We say we were just starting up a big project, and then we have at this point very low prices in the cycle. So it's an average of the past numbers and the future numbers. And so we always exchange projections with them. Of course, our volume will be better for next year's. And also, we are ending this big CapEx program of MAPA. So I think numbers look better for the future, and that's the ones we normally exchange with the rating agencies. They also, in the calculation, they take averages and things like that. So, and of course, we're very committed with the investment grade. So we, if anything could happen, we will take actions in order to preserve the investment grade rating. But not any actions yet with rating agencies. I mean, they're not looking at one quarter. They always have a perspective of long-term of the company.
Sure. And is there, like you paid, I think, close to $200 million dividends last quarter. Is there any flexibility in the dividend payment from a preserving cash standpoint? Like put it differently, I'm curious what your liquidity is now in mid-May versus end of first quarter.
Yeah, of course, we pay dividends, and of course, our liquidity is lower because we pay that amount of dividends. But as we have proved in the past, we had a period of zero dividend, and we have a capital injection from Empresas Copec when we did it. So that's the advantage of being part of a big group, that you have the support from your parent company, and that's what we did. So if we have to do it, we will ask, and we will probably get a good answer from our owners to diminish dividends, bring it to zero, or get capital injections in order to comply with a full commitment with our investment grade rating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianfranco Cifreo for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks all for attending the call. Our next call would be most probably at the mid-August for the first half numbers, and we'll talk then. In the meantime, any doubts, please refer to our investor program here in Arauco for any further questions. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.